This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped on the verse from Surah Maryam, verses 59 and 60, which will be the basis of today's discussion. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيًّا. There came after them a group of people who began to follow their desires and abandon the prayers, and eventually going to be thrown into the valley in Jahannam, or pit inside Jahannam. As for today's hadith that we find related to this, of abandoning the prayers, that we find in بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْكُفْرِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ, between a person's iman, a faith, and a fine line between that and shirk, and going into disbelief, is the abandoning of one's prayers. And thus we want to make this link between following one's desires, following desires, temptations and lusts, leads towards disobedience, leads forward beyond that towards rejection and even abandoning one's faith or leaving the prayer. That is a deep inner meaning of this passage, this Quran and this hadith. Because sometimes people think that the following of desires or making sins doesn't really have an impact on major principles of faith. But the Quran goes and mentions the opposite, that the more that a person begins to follow their desires, or their desires overcome them and makes them leave core practices of Islam. And we can see around us how many possibly young Muslims that the following of their lust and their desires and shahawat that we find, it makes them to stay away from the prayer, till eventually abandoning the prayer, giving up the prayer. And for some of them, may Allah forbid, even questioning al-Islam. So we should be wary of letting desires overcome us. We mentioned in the previous khutbah that desires, lust and desires, can be an ilah, can be a deity for the individual if they don't begin to control their lust and their desires. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. The soul has this inclination at times to go towards bad practices at times, except for the soul which has the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompassed or thrown down upon that soul. And thus we find that the real impact of salah, if we study the Quran in great detail, it removes desires, it breaks desires. The continuous, repetitious practice of coming to the masjid, of reading one's salawat, coming to the masajid, as salah ba'da salah, the real impact of that salah should break the desires, break the temptations. It doesn't give the person the time and the scope to get trapped into the desires that the masses of people are involved in. As the Quran mentions inside Surah Al-Ankabut, أُطْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Recite from the book that which has been sent down upon you. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. هُنَا إِشَارَةٍ إِشَارَتَيْن. Strengthen yourself while reciting the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the prayer. That's what Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah كان يقول, used to say, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak to you, then read the Quran. That's how the person should be engaged with the Quran. The Quran is speaking directly to me, directly to you. And if you want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establish the prayer. Because you are between the two hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is facing you as long as you continue to face Allah. But if your heart turns away, then Allah turns away from that individual. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. The end of the Juz day that we find, the beginning of the 20th, end of the 20th Juz. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly mentioned that as-salah tanha, it prevents you, takes you away from al-fawahish, from illicit practices. Al-fahisha wal-munkar takes you away from that. This should be the impact of the salah upon the individual. That every time they pray, they reassess themselves. That what is the impact of the salah inside my life? As-salah ila as-salah, wal-jum'ah ila al-jum'ah, wa Ramadan ila Ramadan. And you find the prophetic tradition. One prayer to another prayer. One yawm al-jum'ah ila al-jum'ati to another jum'ah. One Ramadan to another Ramadan. Kaffaratun becomes an expiation for the individual as long as they stay away from the minor sins. This that salah, as ulama have mentioned, the impact of one prayer leads to the other salah. The impact of one yawm al-jum'ah leads to the following jum'ah, whereby the person may begin to weaken or worldly things take over them. But yawm al-jum'ah, another salah, awakens the individual. And likewise, Ramadan, these 29, 30 days. It's just like a blinking of an eye. Look how many people have returned back to their normal life. The impact of Ramadan travels all the way to the following Sha'ban, whereby the human begins to weaken or lose some element of focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan enters once again. But we can see the state of the Muslim Ummah. There's nothing hidden about it. That people will rejoice. They're rejoicing. In what terms? That Ramadan is gone, now we return back. But person should be saddened that Ramadan has gone. Look at all of us, we can imagine. Just a blinking of an eye, a few days just went by, these days were completed, that's the end of it. And that is in essence the reality of a human being's life. It's just a blinking of an eye that all of us can reflect that how many days, how many years of our life have just gone by. But we still find no impact of as-salah. And may Allah forbid some Muslims begin to look at other elements of spirituality. You know, it's very weird that people look at yoga practices, meditation. How can a Muslim look at other elements of finding serenity, finding peace, finding tranquility? How dare a Muslim even express something like this when salah is there? As we find in the salah, to tanha anil fahsha wal munkar, takes away from evil things. Or before that, we mentioned that establishing the prayer of wala dhikrullah akbar, wala dhikrullah. Waqad fusira dhikrullah huna bima'na as-salah. The greatest thing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salah. That is the greatest thing. That is the greatest element of spirituality that a person can find inside their life. Likewise, the end of Surah Al-Munafiqun. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tulhikum amwalukum, wa la awladukum an dhikrillah. Wa man yaf'al dhalika fa'ulaika humul khasirun. Don't let your children and your wealth divert you away from the dhikr of Allah. Once again, ulama tafsir mentioned, dhikrullah huna bima'na as-salah. Even the halal things, don't let your family members, your children, your wealth, your property, don't let them derail you, take you away from establishing as-salah. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Those are the losing individuals. They don't focus upon their as-salah. So here, dhikrullah, the greatest dhikr of Allah is as-salah. And the strange thing of these ayat about not letting your children divert you, etc., is the end of Surah Al-Munafiqun. The end of the descriptive nature of the hypocrites. This in itself should awaken the individual. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluding this surah speaking about characteristics of al-munafiqun? Why does he subhanahu wa ta'ala end by speaking about salah or spending one's wealth? And like as we mentioned many times, why does the Quran begin the first 12 after the beginning speaking about the believers, two or three ayat about disbelievers? Then a page or so, 11, 12 ayat speaking about al-munafiqun. As Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah wrote a whole risala, Sifatul Munafiqeen. Why? Why does the Quran enter speaking about hypocrites and highlight these are the characteristics? Is it abathan? Is it just play and amusement? A person just looks at that? No. Al-ibra bi'umum al-lafzi, la bi khusus al-sabab. A Muslim takes the essence from the revelation, the generality of the words, not from the specifics that this refers to Ahlul Kitab, or al-Yahud, or al-Nasara, or al-Dalin. No. Muslim reads the Quran and this is speaking to me. I need to be wary. I need to be worried that these characteristics don't fall into me. Likewise, Allah mentioned, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salam, when Musa made that journey, when Allah said to him, إِنَّنِي أَنَّ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. I'm the one and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe in me, then what should you do? وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Establish the salah to remember me. To remember whom? To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as-salah is the key factor. The beginning and the end of the believing individual. And thus we find that the state of our prayers. Look how the Quran describes the state of maybe the masses of people. Because some people, they do know they have to establish their prayer. But what is the quality of that salah? What is the quality of that obedience?
Allah mentions that Surah An-Nisa, وَإِذَا قَامُوا لِلصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاءُ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They establish the prayer, قَامُوا كُسَالَى. They stand in the prayer in a state of laziness. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ. So the books may be ticked off that so-and-so has established a prayer, so-and-so has come to the masjid. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the deeper meaning, the inner meaning. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So once they stand there, Allah knows. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةِ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows what the eyes try to conceal, and what the heart tries to hide. So Allah talks deep into the heart of the individual. That Allah knows how many individuals are really remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst they're standing inside as-salah. And as a side point, if you look at Surah An-Nisa, كَمْ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ تَتَحَدَّثْ عَنِ الصَّلَةِ. How many ayat inside Surah An-Nisa that speak about as-salah? Whether it be يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةُ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَ حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ. Oh, you believe, don't come to salah whilst in a state of intoxication. Because intoxication, it takes you away from as-salah. Just as we began with lust and desires. Inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, verses number 1991 that we find. يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا. Oh, you believe, stay in the as-salah, or stay away from al-khamr wal-maisir. وَيَسُدُّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَةِ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Stay away from it, all these filthy practices of the throwing of divine arrows, sacrificing on the altars the stones, and stay away from al-khamr, from drinking. Because indeed you find that drinking, alcohol and gambling, which are combined together, it takes you away from as-salah. That's what Allah mentioned categorically. These things take anything that intoxicates the mind. Drugs that we find, anything that clouds the mind. Because al-khamr, ma ghab al-aql. Khamr is anything, you up to your ra's, anything that shrouds the mind. It takes away your faculties of being able to perceive and to understand. It's classified as khamr. But you know, some Muslims, they like to be technical. They like to abtala' bi-shari'ah. They like to play with the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And say, but when I take intoxicants, it doesn't overcome my mind. It doesn't affect me. Al-hadith is Sahih Muslim. مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُهُ فَقَلِيلُهُ حَرَامُ. Whatever intoxicates you in large amounts is forbidden in small amounts. The sharia doesn't make this distinction. That it doesn't affect me personally. So now I can take haram substances. I can do haram. I can look at strange women. I can speak to strange women because it doesn't affect me. That's not the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's tala'ub bid-deen. That's playing with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Maqasid al-sharia are clear. This is the intent of the Islamic law. It doesn't look at a personal entity, a personal identity, that you are free. There's only one individual that was free from that. That was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He had that freedom that was given to him. Because he was the best of bashar, the best of individuals, the most purified of individuals, the most one who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. So some element of leniency was given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in certain matters. That he could carry out certain things that were not allowed for the rest of this Muslim ummah to do. But we find ourselves the opposite. Tala'ub bi-sharia, that we play with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's become common practice, unfortunately. Even as-salah, yura'un al-nas. How many people, we don't want to discuss a political agenda, just to show the world that I'm praying, to be televised, to be shown. Hadith in Sahih Bukhari Muslim that I find, where a dispute took place. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that, leave these people alone. لَعَلَّهُمْ يُصَلُّونَ. Perhaps they pray. What did Khalid ibn Walid say? وَكَمْ مِنْ مُسَلِّمْ يَقُولُ بِلِسَانِهِ مَا لَيْسِ فِي قَلْبِهِ. That's what Khalid ibn Walid said when they wanted to take out these hypocritical individuals. He said to the Prophet, how many people they pray, they say with their tongue that which doesn't exist inside their heart. You know, some Muslims, they claim to be intelligent individuals. They want to show the world. Because they know that al-kufr al-buwaha, the clear kufr is abandoning the salah, tarku salah. So somewhere along the line, they need to show the world that we do offer the prayers. Because if we abandon the prayers, we show that we don't pray, it becomes dangerous. It becomes open kufr. And we're going to discuss that leaving the prayers is something that you find is so dangerous. Takes you out the fold of Islam. And a great discussion begins to take place about what is the punishment of such individuals. Likewise in such Surah At-Tawbah that we find. وَلَا يَعْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَالَى وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كَارِهُونَ. Inside Surah Tawbah, once again, Sifatul Munafiqeen. Great discussion inside Surah Tawbah, speaking about the believing men, the believing women, the hypocritical men, the hypocritical women. When they establish as salah, illa wahum kusala, they come to prayer once again in a state of laziness. And they only spend because they're forced to. They're compelled to. They don't really want to spend their money. But once again, to show the people, to show the world, to show everyone. These are sifat of al-munafiqeen that we find. Likewise, we go back to Surah An-Nisa. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaba mawquta. Prayer has been prescribed for believers at set times. You don't pray when it suits you. This is a big phenomenon that we find inside the West. I pray when I find time. This is a challenge of living in this environment, that you have to establish prayer at the right time to the best of your ability. Maybe occasionally, once in a week, person may be delayed, meaning it doesn't go outside the time of prayer, but they still offer their prayer. But if it becomes habitual in your life, that every single day you pray your prayer right at the end, or you pray it when it suits you, or when you feel like praying it. هذا ضعف الإيمان ضعف العلاقة مع بالله سبحانه وتعالى. Weakness of relationship, attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you fit in salah whenever it suits you. No, the whole dunya needs to stop. The Prophet alayhi salam, no one was busier than him. No one was a more busier leader than him. And so many people to meet, to see, family members, relatives, world politics, enemies, friends, war, peace, treaties. No one more busy than him. But when time waqtus salah, everything would stop. The whole world would come to a standstill, and we'll go and meet his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet we think that we're so busy, we're so engaged in so many different things, that maybe nu'akhir as-salah, lead salah to another moment, which becomes dangerous if it becomes habitual for the individual to have such a practice. And thus we find that as-salah throughout the Qur'an, min al-bidayah ila nihaya, from the beginning to the end, the Qur'an is nothing but replete with ayat speaking about as-salah. Some up to 60 to 85 times, you look at the various derivatives inside the Quran speaking about as-salah. Right in the beginning, Allah mentions, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Those who believe in the unseen. Those who believe in the unseen. أَوَّلْ سِفَ لَهُمْ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. They establish the prayer. Al-ishara that al-ghayb is unseen. The only way to get the keys of the unseen, to get the reward of the unseen, is to do what inside your life? Is to establish the prayer. You're not going to get Jannah, because Al-Jannah is min al-ghaybiyat. Al-Jannah is from the unseen affairs. Hatta al-kalima Jannah, that you find lughatan, is something which is hidden, concealed. It's a forest, it's bushes, something you have to enter through it, to enter inside it. As you find janinul mar'a, the womb of the mother is called janin. Why? The child is hidden with these layers. Jannah is hidden, Jannah is unseen. The only way to enter into Jannah is via as-salah. As we find in some narrations, Miftah Jannah, as-salah. The key to paradise is as-salah. That is the key that will help the individual to enter into paradise. Likewise, we find continuing the journey inside Surah Al-Baqarah, وَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ آتُ الزَّكَاةِ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُخَاطِبُ Bani Israel, speaks to Bani Israel, وَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Allah doesn't say, وَأَدُّ الصَّلَاةِ, just like some of us, just carry out the salah, or at least I pray, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish the prayer from the beginning to the middle to the end, and hatta ba'da salah, to hafidhu ala salawati, guard your prayers, guard them, just even before salah, your preparation psychologically, mentally, not just walk into the masjid and just raise your hands and just start offering salah. Prepare yourself that you're now going to enter into a salah. That's if I'm tahiyatul masjid, entering into the masjid, reading two raka'at of prayer. As ulama tazkiyah mentioned, it sets the mindset, programs of mind, that now a person is entered into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything should be taken away. What takbir? Takbir to the ihram. The takbir of making everything haram. When you say Allahu Akbar, that everything goes out of your mind. Everything escapes your mind. Every thought comes out of your mind. But may Allah forbid, most of us are the opposite. Every thought comes into the mind as soon as they say Allahu Akbar. Everything they want to remember, everything they want to organize, everything they want to do, every thought comes inside it. Why? Because of weakness of understanding the impact of salah inside our lives. Thus we find, wasta'inu warka'u ma'a raki'in. Bani Israel, bow down with those who bow down. Ulama have highlighted based on just this one verse, warka'u ma'a raki'in. Ahmiyatu salah bil jama'ati. To establish the prayer in jama'ah, in congregation. That, حتى بعض الفقهاء قال أنه فرض. Some of the fuqaha mentioned that to pray salah in jama'ah is an obligation. If a person does it outside of the congregation, their salah is invalidated. It's a minor view, but just to let us know how fuqaha are intricate in discussing affairs. But at least that we can say, it is highly, highly recommended for a person to pray. The highest level is to pray their salah in the masjid, in jama'ah, in congregation. Person should exert themselves to do that. In a Muslim country, they have no excuse. For them, you can go to such a degree to say it's obligatory for them, because they're living in an Islamic environment where they hear the adhan, they hear the call, and the facility is made for them to come to the prayer. They have to respond to that. Maybe we could have a slight excuse. We don't hear the adhan, or we're living in another environment. But even in highly, highly recommended for a person to begin their day with Salatul Fajr bil Jama'ati fil Masjid. Begin their day with jama'ah inside the masjid, not jama'ah inside one's room, with one's family members, with one's friends. That's what we find common practice become now. Every other day, just pray jama'ah. In technicalities, warqaw ma raqi'in. Fuqaha mentioned, what is the whole point of establishing masajidullah? Establishing the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody's free to pray in any jama'ah, whenever they want, whenever they feel like praying. This is only out of necessity. Person has no choice. That they go and pray in another jama'ah if they miss the masjid. وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Bow down with those individuals who offer the prayer. Then again inside Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. شَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. الْإِسْتِعَانَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّبْرِ. You know, people want to talk about lofty goals and aspirations and rectifying the world around us. Look at manhaj al-Qur'an. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek aid and assistance via patience as salah. As-salah is what strengthens the individual. As-salah makes the personality be powerful, because their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what will give success to this Muslim ummah. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. This is going to be very harsh, very difficult, very burdensome. Except for whom? Those who are submissive. Those who have khushu inside their salah. That's why later inside Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah begins by mentioning, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خاشعون. Those are the successful individuals. That's success. The worldly success is something good, but the benchmark for a Muslim is as-salah. Come in Muslim, how many amongst Muslims they boast about their credentials, they boast about this, boast about that. Maybe saloon, they may be good individuals, they may be good personalities, they might be good people, but alaqa ma'allah, ma indam alaqa ma'allah, may saloon, they're good to people. Why are you not good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why are you worried about the people, but your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is flawed? Or we go a step further, this is what leads to kufr, that some of them think they're highly educated. We don't need deen. We don't need salah. We don't need spirituality. I'm my own person, my own self. I don't need God. I don't need religion inside my life. Quran speaks about this manhaj. When it said to Shaib alayhi salam, when it said to him, does your prayer tell us to live our life? To do our personal dealings, our business transactions, you remain where? Worshipping Allah. Just like we find today, that people say, you Muslims, keep your salah inside the masjid. Don't bring salah into the public domain, how salah teaches you how to live life. It doesn't discuss how to live life. Salah does teach you how to live life. It teaches you how to discipline yourself, how to organize yourself. What will give people success? Those are the successful individuals who've established a salah, who observe it towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, finally, we continue inside Surah Al-Baqarah, some 12 different occasions inside there, speaking about as-salah, the impact of salah. And obviously we don't have time to go through the whole of the Qur'an to mention all the different verses which speak about salah, but we come to the end of the Qur'an, as we mentioned, from the beginning to the end. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ. Only place inside the Qur'an, woe to those individuals who offer the prayer. How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving this warning? Woe to those individuals who offer the prayer. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those who either delay their prayers. يُؤَخِّرُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Who delay their prayers right to the end, or pray after the end time. Oh, the other qawl which is mentioned, they abandon the prayer. And that's as we mentioned, that these verses like Surah Maryam, to see the relationship of those individuals who abandon the prayer, because waylun. As ulama al-tafaseer mentioned, waylun wadin fi jahannam. Wail one meaning of wail is not just destruction or punishment or torture. It's been described that wail is from amongst one of the valleys in Jahannam, which is given the title of Ghay, Ghayya, that they're going to be thrown inside the evil pit inside Jahannam for those individuals. Thus we find that if we study this verse inside Surah Maryam as we began with, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِمْ خَلْفٌ عَدَاءُ الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبْعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Study the tafsir of this verse. Imam Shaqiti Sahib Adwa al-Bayan has some 20 odd pages on his one verse discussing in intricate detail about as-salah, the impact of salah. What does it mean to abandon the prayer? And what does it mean, the punishment for those individuals who abandon the prayer? Adwa al-Salah. What does it mean that they waste their prayers? I mean, أَقْوَالُ إِفْرَانْ تَأْخِيرُهَا عَنْ وَقْتِهَا. That not to offer the prayer at its right time is the interpretation given by Ibn Mas'ud, and likewise Imam Mujahid, the student of Ibn Abbas. وَهَذَا رَأْيُ Imam Al-Qurtubi as well. That for those in the أَدَاءُ الصَّلَاةِ, those who delay their prayers. وَقَدْ قِيلَ الْإِخْلَالُ بِشُرُوطِهَا. To be deficient inside its prerequisites and its conditions, and to offer the prayer appropriately. وَقَدْ قِيلْ جَحَدَ وُجُوبُهَا. Person rejects his obligation. We find this, unfortunately, so-called Muslim thinkers and developed individuals, that they think that as-salah is not something important to carry out inside their lives. Likewise, you find إِدَعْتُوا فِي غَيْرِ الْجَمَعَاتِ. To waste it, not to come and pray inside the jama'at. Another qawm which is mentioned is beautification of the masajid, to be worried about its intricate designs and details. And Imam Shaqidi mentions all these aqwal are acceptable. All this leads to waste in the prayer. All you worry about is tazyin and masajid. It's good to have a beautiful masjid, but is that the intent of salah? Just to be worried about the external dome, the external factors, the internal beauty, the chandeliers, the carpet, the environment. That's not the inner meaning of a salah. All this put together means adha'u salah. That a person delays their prayer, walks away from the prayer, rejects their prayer, doesn't focus upon their prayers. They came for after min ba'dim khalfun. Who are these people that the Quran is speaking about who came after them? Here, ulama of tafsir, they mentioned either al-Yahud or Nasara. That they abandoned prayer, and as we mentioned, no harm in mention could be any individual who follows the same thought. And a strange statement is mentioned. Imam Shaqiti mentioned whom Ahlul Gharb. They're the Western people. We could take that literally. When he's speaking about the West of the Islamic Empire, or we take it literally today, the Gharb, the West, the Western world around us. Yakun Ishara is a sign that most people inside the West, they do adha'u salah. They do waste their prayers. They do squander their prayers. They do lose focus towards their prayers. وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَانِ. They begin to follow their lusts and their desires. Ali radiallahu anhu begins mentions of aqwal, what is following their lusts and their desires. To worry once again about beautiful buildings. Worried about what they drive and what their riding beast is. To worry about their clothing, how good it looks. This is all ittaba'u shahawat, to follow their lust and their desire. That's all that they're worried about. We're not saying it's haram to dress well and to look well, but we can see how it overcomes certain individuals. That's all that in life is based upon. But the spirituality is hollow within. It's hollow within, that they don't focus upon the internal factors of their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghayya, we find, as we mentioned, sharran. Sharran, that the evil will be given to these individuals, or they'll be misguided. Or as we mentioned, it will be wardin fi jahannam min qayh. That the pus and the blood of the people of Jahannam, that's what ghay is. That this is where the pit that people will be throwing who don't establish their prayers. That's what we find in some narration, inna ghayyan wadin fi jahannam. Even the hadith is da'if, but some ulama mentioned that because speak about unseen affairs. Rukmu marfu, it can go back to the Prophet alayhi wasallam, speaking about something that the companions can't speak from their own mind. That ghay is a valley inside Jahannam given to those individuals. And thus we find that amma al-masail that ulama begin to discuss, just to awaken us, to begin to help us to think about the importance of trying not to ulama ajma' ulama anna tarik as-salah al-jahili wujubiha kafir. Person who leaves the prayer and rejects its obligation that the person has to pray, ajma' ulama, ulama in consensus, for huwa kafir. Anybody who doesn't pray and rejects the authenticity of prayer, questions the prayer, that why has prayer been prescribed, we don't need to pray, then that person is a disbelieving individual. Below that we find, اختلف العلماء تارك الصلاة عمدا أو تهاونا. A person who leaves the prayer intentionally or out of laziness, but recognizes they need to pray. What are the aqwal of the ulama regarding this? They mention al-hadwa kafir or Muslim. A great debate begins to take place. Is he a believer or a disbeliever? Is he supposed to be killed as a disbeliever or one who rejects the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam Shaqiti goes to the view, the person who leaves prayer out of laziness, فَهُوَ kafir, is a disbelieving individual. Even though it's adilla to prove against that, but this is the view he takes after narrating all the different evidences. Amongst evidences that he narrates that a person doesn't pray out of laziness, but accepts that they need to pray. He mentions, we mentioned the hadith we began with, إِنَّ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْكُفْرِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. Between a person's belief and shirk and disbelief is as-salah, tarku salah. Person leaves the salah, that's it. There's no need for a discussion about it. Clear, it's apparent, this individual. If you really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why are you abandoning the prayer? Why are you forsaking the prayer? Why are you not praying? Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah faman tarakaha faqad kafara. The covenant, the distinction between us and them is as-salah. Whoever abandons the prayer, faqad kafara. Many ulama take it linguistically, take it openly. That person is a disbelieving individual who breaks the covenant of not establishing the prayer. Likewise, فَإِنْ كَانَ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ لَا يَرَوْنَ شَيْئًا فِي الْأَعْمَالِ مِنْ أَعْمَالِ تَرْكُهُ كُفْرِ غَيْرَ الصَّلَاةِ. There was nothing that the companions were united upon. Nothing that were united upon except for a person who leaves the salah, فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. أَجْمَعَ الصَّحَابَةِ. That you very rarely find a consensus of the companions referring to something. But they classified anybody who leaves the prayer is to be classified as a disbelieving individual. Likewise, مَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا كَانَ لَوْ نُورًا وَبُرْهَانًا وَلَجَاتًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. In a hadith Muslim, Imam Ahmad, that we find, whoever preserves the prayer, guards it, for that individual will be نور وبرهان ونجاتًا. It will be a source of light, evidence and success on the day of judgment. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحَافِظْ عَلَيْهَا. Whoever doesn't guard it will be with Ubay bin Khalaf, will be with Haman, will be with Fir'aun. As Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah wrote a whole book, Hukum Tariq al-Salah, the ruling of the one who abandons the prayer, based on this one hadith, is that Muslim Imam Ahmad, to prove that person leaves the prayer, who abandons the prayer, will be with Rusul Kafara, will be with the leaders of the disbelieving individuals for abandoning the prayer and turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, other masail are discussed, Qada' al-Salah, of a person who, Iman Nasiyah, of a person who forgets their prayer for a short span of time, how to make Qada' that we find. What salah to offer a person missed this salah? But we should be vigilant to understand all these masail, especially qada' salah. Many people ask this question that for many years I haven't prayed. What is more appropriate to encourage individuals is to become more punctual on your daily prayers and read more extra nawafil. Focus on your sunan. Rather than to have this mathematical approach that some people say, go back and work out for the last 20, 30 years that you haven't prayed. And every time you offer a prayer, then repeat that prayer again for that year, for that time. Even though there are some narrations, but these ahadith are da'if in nature. Or some of them are authentic, but they try to make ta'wil. That means go back and repeat the prayer again. But what is more appropriate, in a sense of that acceptable, especially in the world that we live in at the moment, to make 20, 30 years up of a person's prayer they may have missed, or a few years. We just about become punctual about the daily prayers on a daily basis. And just about offer a sunnah during the day. So then to go and repeat and to work out all those previous prayers that a person has missed becomes something sharp, something difficult upon the individual. Amongst the evidence is the one that can present regarding that one just repents back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begins to become more punctual towards their prayers and the devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's straight after this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. For those individuals who repent and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, carry out righteous actions, for these individuals, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ, Allah will then enter them into paradise. So this is, we can say, a bushra, a glad tidings for those individuals who may have abandoned their prayers, who haven't prayed, or returned back towards their prayers, that there's khair for these individuals, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ, these individuals enter into paradise. And this is a common practice inside the Qur'an. We look at the end of Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah mentions those individuals who may carry out certain sins, they may carry out. If they do carry them out, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah will make tabdeel, will change the bad deeds into good deeds. So there's always an element of encouragement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What has gone past of the individual, the person needs to then rectify themselves. أَمَّا الَّذِي أَسْلَمَ, as for a person who becomes a Muslim, ulama mentioned categorically that person doesn't need to make up any prayers. Because that was a state of disbelief for that individual. No prayers need to be made up But as soon as they enter into Islam, that's why they need to be vigilant about their prayers and devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentions Jannati adn allati wa'ada ar-Rahmanu 'ibadahu. Then Allah mentions again, continuing inside Surah Maryam, that Allah promised paradise for those individuals. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ar-Rahman, ibadahu, his servants, gives to these individuals, بِالْغَيْبِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ وَعْدَهُ مَأْتِيًّا, who believe in the unseen, just as we began with. Allah promises paradise for those believing, those servants of his, who carry out the practices that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to carry out. This is a promise, إِنَّهُ كَانَ وَعْدُهُ مَأْتِيًّا, it's a promise that will definitely come to pass. مَأْتِيًّا. There's no doubt about this. There's something ati will come for the individual. Allah will give. The person who carries their salawat, focus upon their prayer, Allah will give. As we began with, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen, Allah will give the due reward to those individuals. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيءَ إِيمَانَكُمْ, Allah doesn't let your iman go to waste. الْإِيمَان هُنَا بِمَعْنَى الصَّلَاةِ, your salah doesn't go to waste in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one should think that I prayed and nothing was given to me, or no response was given to me, or things become more difficult for me inside my life, whatever it may be. These excuses that we all as human beings present. That person shouldn't lose hope, shouldn't despair. Person should carry on in their focus and commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find some of us fall into the trap that I sin, so I shouldn't pray. This is a great big fallacy. Person shouldn't fall into that trap. Because all of us sin, all of us make mistakes. This is one of the biggest snares of the devil, the beast, Iblis, the deception of the devil, that I sin now, don't offer the prayer, miss the prayer, delay the prayer, miss one prayer, miss another prayer, miss coming to Yawmul Jum'ah, then miss another Jum'ah, then miss totally the prayers. That's what Shaytan wants. Because this is kufr, that shirk, that leads a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person sin needs to come back, revitalize the iman, renew themselves, come back, try to exert to come back to the masjid, come back to the Jum'ah, come back to their prayer. Not think that one sin, now I need to stay away from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, you find that some of us individuals, a great shame, but something that we visualize on many occasions, that people will flock to the funeral of an individual, of a loved one. And we've witnessed this personally many times. Many people come to the funeral prayer. And many times we know that in our community, it will be after Salatul Dhuhr, the funeral prayer will take place. Well, I can come in and announce how many people will not pray their dhuhr, but yet they'll pray the funeral prayer for that individual. Shayun ajeeb. How strange is that? They'll stand outside, they'll talk, they'll discuss different affairs. And as soon as the funeral prayer begins, they'll come in and offer the funeral prayer. What kind of iman is this? What kind of belief is this? You know, people say, at least they offer the funeral prayer. The funeral prayer is something only recommended. It's only something recommended in the sense that if some people carry that, that would suffice the community. Look how zealous we are to come to a funeral prayer of a loved one, of a dead individual, of a close friend. That love and affection that we have, that we want to offer that prayer. But the right of Allah belongs before that. It's Salatul Dhuhr. Person doesn't want to offer their prayer, doesn't offer their prayer. This shows that everything in our life is muddled up. Our priorities, what we believe in, and our focus. The first focus should be for the individual, Haqqullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first right is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's if I, awwal shay, ma yuhasib alayhi al-'abd yawm al-qiyamah. That first thing in the Mu'jam Tabrani that we find, the first thing the person we ask about on the Day of Judgment will be as-salah, will be the prayer. That's it. That's the first thing. Everyone places that inside their mind and their heart. That will awaken the soul, worry the individual. Yes, there's many troubles, many problems that we, as a personality, as a community, as a family, as an ummah that we face. There's no doubt. But as we mentioned, wasta'inu bi-sabri wa-salah, seek aid and assistance via the prayer to uplift. That there is going to be success. There's going to be success for this Muslim ummah. Just like we should visualize that success. We should see that success by our own action. Our salah should make us strong. It should show us the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even us living in the Western world, persons shouldn't feel shy about their faith. About as salah, ahmiyat as-salah, importance of salah, it leads towards goodness. That person should know this is symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show that person is a believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make as-salah to become nur lana, fi quburina, inside our graves, wa fi hayatina, inside our lives, wa fi akhiratina, inside the akhirah, a day of yawm al-qiyamah, makes a form of a nur, a light for us, encompassed around us, becomes a form of protection, comes inside our grave, and says, this individual, just like he preserved me during the daytime, during his life, I'm going to protect this individual. And a person doesn't guard their prayers. We find some other mention that the prayer comes as an evil individual, disfigured individual, wicked individual. said, who are you? With his foul stench, his foul personality. But we said, I am your prayers that you wasted and you abandoned. And that's why a person entered inside the grave, for amongst the most elements of punishing of the person inside the grave is tarkus salah. The leaving of prayers leads to punishment inside the grave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from that.